Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What a scary moment for all of mankind. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. They will not be saved at that time, but it will be undeniable. No longer will there be some professor in some school standing and blaspheming God and shaking his fist, declaring that he is better than God or that God doesn't exist.
For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." That's out of Romans 14. Yes, it will be a very scary time, but not for those who fear and love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. Take time today to pray for those loved ones who do not know the Lord, that they would come to know His mercy and forgiveness. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Revelation 11 and 12.
The title of our message today is History's Greatest Conflict. We're going to be looking today in Revelation chapter 12 at the greatest conflict that this world has ever seen. It's as if there is a veil that's been put for mankind, and God all of a sudden gave this chapter to us so we could pull back the veil and we could see what really is going on. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that in some of the politics around the world? Some of the conflicts that we see throughout the world, wouldn't you like to be able to pull back the veil and see what is really going on? I don't know that we really have that understanding. We learned after it became obvious in 9/11 that our world had radically changed. But what we didn't know is there were people behind the scenes who knew all about it. The more we learned, the more we knew that they knew these kind of things were getting ready to take place. If we could have looked behind the veil, we would have seen what we didn't know. That's what happens in Revelation chapter 12. Only it is the greatest conflict of all times. It's not World War I, it's not World War II, it's not World War III. It is the real battle that began at the beginning of history and will continue until the very end. It was spoken of in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, when he said, "And the seed of the woman," seed singular, not seeds as in a nation, but seed as in one person, "and the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head and will have his heel bruised." It's a promise of the Messiah, and it's a promise of victory. It's a promise that Satan will not win. We already know who wins. The war is done. The fight is over. All we've got to do is fight it now, because Satan was crushed at the cross and the heel of God was bruised when the nails were driven through his hand and into that tree, when the blood dripped off of that cross and down onto the ground and our sins were forgiven. It took away all of the power of the enemy. What is Satan going to do with you when you are forgiven? What is Satan going to do when he whispers in your ear and says, "You're a liar"? And you say, "But I've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been forgiven," and it gives us a great victory. So we learn about history's greatest conflict in this chapter. We also come to the blasting of the seventh trumpet. If you've been studying Revelation with us, and you can, if you haven't been, you can go back and catch up through our app or on our website. But if you've been studying Revelation with us, you've learned that there are seven seals that are peeled back that bring forth judgments. And there are seven trumpets that are blasted that bring forth judgments. And the last three of the seven are called the three woes of the book of Revelation. An angel flew through heaven before the blasting of the fifth trumpet. Woe to the people on the earth for the results of the blasting of the final three trumpets. We saw that the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, was a demonic horde that comes out of the bottomless pit and torments men for 5 months. Tail like a scorpion, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. That's a scary looking creature. We saw the next trumpet was four angels, demonic spirits, bound at the river Euphrates, who are set free, and they are a demonically influenced army. The Euphrates River is dried up so that army can make its way to Israel, and we'll talk more about that army when we get to the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. The third woe, the final woe, is chapter 12. The trumpet is blasted in the middle of 11, but the woe is actually explained in chapter 12, which is why I wanted to cover 11 and 12, even though it's a little difficult to cover all of it, together, because I wanted us to get the feel of what the final trumpet was. So the trumpet is fired off here in verse 15. It says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" You ever wonder where Handel's Messiah got that line from? Here it is, Revelation chapter 11. "And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God in the throne fell on their faces and worshiped God." Now, here's what happens when the trumpet is blasted. Rather than having the focus on earth, the focus is on heaven. And something in the seventh trumpet happens that makes a change in heaven, that clicks the final gear into place, which wraps everything up. "The kingdoms of our God have become the kingdoms of Christ." So there's a change that takes place. It's like the woe, chapter 12, is really bad. It's worse than the fifth trumpet. It's worse than the sixth trumpet. It's really bad. Some of you guys are reading ahead now. "What does it mean, really bad? I want to see." Just hang on, get there. But before he gets to the really bad, he wants you to know that all of this really bad is going to result in something that is the most glorious moment for this entire world. That we are moving down a tunnel, and it's been a dark tunnel as we've been moving through the tribulation period. And all of a sudden now, way down at the end of the tunnel is a speck of light, and the light's getting bigger. And it's not an oncoming train that's going to run you over. We are going to move out of that tunnel into the most glorious time this world will ever see. The result of blasting of the trumpet brings an incredible horror on the earth, but an incredible light in heaven. So how can that be? How can you have a horrible, awful event on the earth, but an incredible day of glory in heaven? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look on. It says, "We give you thanks." These are the 24 elders, right? They fall down and they worship God. "We give you thanks, O Lord Almighty." Who is this Almighty One? The One who is, who was, and who is to come. "Because you have taken your great power and reigned." We give you glory because you've taken your great power and you have reigned. Heaven has been freed. "The nations were angry and your wrath has come." The wrath of the Lamb has been poured out during the tribulation period. The Lamb who was slain is Jesus. "And the time of the dead that they should be judged." What a scary moment for all of mankind. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. They will not be saved at that time, but it will be undeniable. No longer will there be some professor in some school standing and blaspheming God and shaking his fist, declaring that he is better than God or that God doesn't exist. It will be undeniable, and they will fall on their face before the power of the Almighty, and it will be amazing. And he says, "And that you should reward." Not only is he going to judge the ungodly, but he's going to reward the servants and the prophets and the saints. Someone said, "You're either a saint or you're an ain't." If you're a saint, you receive a reward. And isn't that amazing? "And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There's a reason why the temple of God is opened in heaven. We'll talk about it in a minute. "And the Ark of the Covenant was seen." That's the mercy seat in heaven where the blood of Jesus was sprinkled for the forgiveness of our sins. "And there was lightning, noises, thunders, earthquakes, and a great hail." So what happened that caused there to be such an incredible rejoicing in heaven at the blasting of the seventh trumpet? What a contrast. This great rejoicing up in heaven and this great horrible awfulness on earth. Well, chapter 12 tells us. Now, keeping that in mind, I want to give you the main players of the chapter. There are three main players in this chapter. You might want to take notes if you're not taking them. Michael makes an appearance, but he's not a main player. Michael the archangel makes an appearance. He's not the main player. There are three main ones. There's a woman, a pregnant woman. That is the nation of Israel. It is not Christian Science. which, by the way, is neither science nor Christian, and who has taught that this is, speaking of them, it's not any of the cults. The kingdom of the cults loves chapter 12 in the book of Revelation. They love to say that they're the pregnant woman, and they love to say that the world that's condemning them or coming after them is the dragon. But that's not true. The woman is the nation of Israel. We'll see that in a moment. The child that she gives birth to is the Messiah, because it is from the nation of Israel that God brings forth the Messiah. God told Abram, "Leave the land you're in and go to the land I will show you." And as he went, God said, "Look at the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Your descendants are going to be more than them." And Abram was 75 years old and had no kids. And his name was Abram, which is father. People would show up and say, "What's your name?" He'd say, "Father." And they'd say, "How many kids you got?" He'd say, "None." So then through the power of the flesh, he comes up with a son, Ishmael, by the handmaiden Hagar. And God shows up after that and says, "I'm changing your name. Your name will no longer be Abram, but your name will now be Abraham." And Abraham means father of many. Now people show up and say, "What's your name?" "Father of many." "How many sons you have?" "One." But his descendants would be like the stars of the sky. And then God promised Abraham this: "From you will come one, the Messiah, who will," it doesn't say that, that's my little parentheses, "the Messiah. From you will come one who will bless all nations." The child the woman is pregnant with is the Messiah that's going to come from the nation of Israel. And then there's a dragon, a great red fiery dragon that we have revealed here. That is Satan. It is the devil himself. Satan was created by God as one of the three main angels in heaven. We only know three names of three angels, and it's not Michelangelo, by the way. We have Lucifer, which means son of the morning. We have Michael, who is an archangel who heads up the armies of heaven. We have Gabriel, who's the announcement angel who stands in the presence of God. Lucifer was, you know, the Bible tells us that his whole body is made of jewels. Lucifer stood in the presence of God and the glory of God. Any of you ladies have a really nice diamond on your finger? You walk outside in the sunlight and blind people with it. Cover that thing up. Can you imagine the facets on the jewels of Lucifer when he was in God's glory? And the Bible says Lucifer became proud. Pride is the original sin. And he said, "I will exalt my throne above the throne of God." Somebody came up to me when we were talking about this one service. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "You really believe that the devil was there with God and the devil thought that he was going to be greater than God?" And I told them, "I know people who think they're God and who think they're better than God. And if people think they're better than God, Satan certainly did. And Satan took a third of the host of angels with them, and they became the demonic forces." And so you have the woman, Israel, you have the child who is going to be born, Jesus, and you have the dragon who wants to destroy the child, and that is the devil. And an event that brings joy in heaven and horror on earth. All right? So we got all that, right? So let's pick it up. It says in verse 1, "Now, a great sign appeared in heaven." We know it's a sign because it says so. "A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun." There are several women brought up in Revelation. Later on, we're going to meet a harlot. But here is a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain and gave birth. The only other place that we find any description that is close to this is when Joseph has a dream. And he dreams that his mother and father, the sun and the moon and the stars, bow down and worship him. And he tells his dad that dream. By the way, if you dream that your mom and dad and brothers and sisters bow down to you, don't tell anybody. Let that be a secret that you know and you keep alone. Joseph told his mom and dad, and Jacob was like, he knew right away what the dream meant. You think your mother and father, we're going to bow down before you, your brothers? But he kept the thing in his heart because he thought God might be doing something. Well, Jacob had his name changed. God did it often. Jacob, which means supplanter or manipulator, that's really what his name meant. How'd you like to have that name? Hi, what's your name? Manipulator. I don't think I really want to know you at all. He had his name changed from supplanter or heel catcher or manipulator to Israel, which means ruled by God. That's what Israel is, ruled by God. And he had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the birth of the nation of Israel, called by God to bring forth one who's going to change the world. And it says that this woman who represents Israel is with child, and in pain she gave birth. Israel has faced great pain and suffering, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, because they brought forth the Messiah. Joel Rosenberg, many of you guys know, he's Jewish. He's written many books. He's an author. He's been here with us on several occasions. Joel Rosenberg says, he's Jewish, he says, we are the chosen people. And he said, what you don't know is that sometimes we say to God, choose somebody else. Why'd you choose us? We've had so much suffering because you've chosen us. In great pain, they brought forth that child. There has been more hatred, more animosity, more violence towards the Jewish people than any other people on this earth over the entire time that they have been a nation. From the time they became a nation in Egypt until the very end. When I was in school in the 70s, I remember learning about the Holocaust. And I remember my teacher saying to me, never again will we allow something like this to happen. And yet today in Europe, where Jews were arrested, where they were made to wear a star of identification on their arm, where they were arrested, fed into cattle cars, taken to concentration camps, and gassed to death 6 million of them, the same place is persecuting Jewish people again. They cannot walk down the streets and places in Europe because of the great hatred. And it's not only those in Islam that hate Israel. There's a great hatred once again for the people of Israel. It's because they're God's chosen people. God said, I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you on the palms of my hand. And even if a woman forgets her baby, ladies, you're going to forget your baby? You walk out of the house, forgot something. My baby. But God says, even if they do forget, I will never forget you, my people. And God says that he will pour out a spirit of grace and mercy on Jerusalem, and that they will weep for him as one who mourns for an only son when they look upon him who they pierced, God, whom they pierced in Jerusalem. When did they pierce God in Jerusalem? And the Bible says, and all of Israel will be saved. Yes, they face great pain. Yes, they bring forth the Messiah in labor. Yes, they have made themselves a giant target on this earth because they have brought the Messiah and the enemy wants to destroy them. But God, as we're going to see, is going to preserve the people of Israel. They're going to make it to the very end. And so, with great pain, she brings forth this child. And another sign appeared in heaven. You got a pregnant woman crying out in great pain and giving birth. That's the sign. What a vision. In your vision, you see a woman and she's pregnant. She falls down on the ground, gives birth to a baby. What a vision. And another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the dragon we know is Satan. We're going to be told that in a moment. The 7 heads and the 10 horns we'll talk about a little later on. They are world governments that the devil has worked through. We'll get that again in 14. We'll get it again in 17. So kind of put that off for a little while. The dragon is who we want to look at today, but this is the one that has 7 heads and 10 horns. The 7 heads are nations. The 10 horns are individuals that rule. Again, we'll catch up with it later. And it says, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This is Satan the dragon persuading 1/3 of the angels to fall. These are the demonic hosts. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and devour her child as soon as he was born. Herod killed the babies in Bethlehem because he wanted to destroy the child who was born. The Pharaoh of Egypt tried to destroy all the male children of Israel because he wanted to assimilate the people of Israel into the Egyptian people. Don't you think Satan was behind that? And in the Great Holocaust, the final solution of Hitler was to destroy every Jew on the earth. That was his goal. That was his final solution, to completely wipe them out. Tell me that that is not demonically induced. And she bore a male child, it says, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and was ascended up into heaven. And so the child did its job and went to heaven, the Messiah. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. God prepares a place for Israel in the wilderness that he's going to keep her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, roughly 3.5 years. For the last 3.5 year period, the second half of the tribulation period, called the Great Tribulation period, God is going to protect the nation of Israel supernaturally. There are a group of people today, it's called replacement theology. They believe that God's not working with Israel at all. The fact that God said in the last days he was going to bring Israel back into the land, and the fact that that's happened, they say that's a coincidence. That's quite a coincidence. Never before has there been a nation lost its land and became a nation again. God said it was going to happen, and it's happened. God not only hasn't rejected the people of Israel, God will protect them in a special place during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, so the devil will not be able to destroy them. So the beginning of the trumpet that sounded tells us of this conflict that's been going on from the beginning of time. The nation of Israel, the birth of the Messiah, and the dragon trying to destroy him. Now we get to our event. Verse 7, this is the blasting of the last trumpet. And war broke out in heaven. What? War broke out in heaven? We've heard of war on earth. Have you even thought of such a thing? Have you even comprehended such a thing? A war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Michael and Lucifer go at it with their armies. I see a red dragon with its wings and red demonic spirits fighting against the angelic spirits, and I see a great conflict in heaven that was absolutely amazing. What I love about this is it's not Jesus that defeats Satan. Satan is a great deceiver, and he wants you to think that he is the antithesis of God, that he is the opposite of God, that you have God and you have the devil, and they are the same. Woo, woo, who's going to win? God or the devil? God or the devil? But God has no opposite. How can God Almighty have an opposite? The opposite of the dragon, you don't like this, is Michael the archangel, who's been standing around in heaven saying, can I get him now? Jesus like, not yet. How about now? Not yet. How about now? Not yet. Finally, the seventh trumpet blasts, and Michael stands back and pulls out his sword, and he says, let's go, boys. And they are off, and there's a war in heaven. It says in verse 8, there's no suspense here, by the way. It doesn't build up. It just tells us right away the outcome. But they did not prevail. The dragon and his army did not prevail. We know who wins.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address, once again, is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.